Please, if you have your Bibles, why don't you turn with me to Revelation chapter 21, and I'll read the first 8 verses. Then I saw a new heaven and a new earth. The first heaven and the first earth had passed away, and the seas were no more. And I saw the holy city, New Jerusalem, coming down out of heaven from God, prepared as a bride adorned for her husband. And I heard a loud voice from the throne saying, behold, the dwelling place of God is with man. He will dwell with them, and they will be his people, and God himself will be with them as their God. He will wipe away every tear from their eyes, and death shall be no more. Neither shall there be mourning, nor crying, nor pain anymore, for the former things have passed away. Verse 5. And he who was seated on the throne said, behold, I'm making all things new. Also he said, write this down, for these words are trustworthy and true. And he said to me, it is done. I am the Alpha and the Omega, the beginning and the end. To the thirsty, I will give from the spring of water of life without payment. And the one who conquers will have this heritage. And I will be his God, and he will be my son. But for the cowardly, the faithless, the detestable, as for murderers and sexually immoral, sorcerers, idolaters, and all liars, their portion will be the lake that burns with fire and sulfur, which is the second death. Amen. Father God, thank you for your word for us as we stand at the verge of a new year, still in the new month of January. Lord, we say thank you and we pray that indeed you minister to our hearts, that you help us going through this year knowing that you make all things new. Lord, thank you. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Amen. God is amazing. I'm so overwhelmed as Craig stood up and said, God is doing fresh things. Last week, the first week that we are meeting, we were praying before the service. And as I wanted to pray, I felt in my spirit a phrase, I'm doing all things new. I just felt it. And so I mentioned there, I prayed about it, and I came into the service, and I said, this is in the Bible. I want to look for it. And it was this scripture, and as I was leading, I read it. But this word has not left me. Even when the elders met to pray on Tuesday, it dawned on me. And as I was reading it, I could feel something overwhelmingly coming on me, saying God is going to do new things. Amen. I want you to leave here this morning saying God is doing new things in me this year. He says, I will make all things new. All things means all things new this year. That's the word for us. And as I was thinking about this, Beatrice said, yeah, that's the word that we had in Isaiah 43. But then I looked at it again and I realized, at that time, God was saying he's giving us a new season. He's doing new things. But this time, he's saying, I'm doing all things new. There are two different things. I'm doing new things. That means I'm creating things. But this time, he says, I am making all things new. The things that are old, lying around, that we even want to throw away, I'm making them new. That's the word for us this year. Wherever you are seated, I feel God is saying, you are going to be made new this year. You just have to plug into it, and God is going to do it. You know, this scripture gives us two pictures, and I just want to paint it this morning. The first one is from verse 1 to 4. John is standing there, and he says, I saw a new heaven and a new earth. descending, new. Now, it's quite interesting. Why? Because the old, or the first heaven and the first earth, has passed away. So God has created new of heaven and new of earth. This earth that is full of problems will be made new. The Bible says there was war in heaven. God is going to make it new. There will never be war in heaven. Lucifer, the devil, who is accuser of the brethren, was some time ago in heaven. He will not be there. It's a new thing God is doing. And so God is saying, I'm going to create this new heaven for you. And he says, that will be the hope for my people. That's the final product. That is the dwelling place, the future dwelling place that I am creating for my people. And he continues to say that I will be there. And the voice said, behold, the dwelling place of God is with men. Yes, he will dwell with them, and they will be his people, and God himself will be their God. Face to face, we will be with our God. Amen. You know, I don't know how you see God in your head. You don't know how I see God in my head. But then, we will all see our Creator. We will all know our Creator. Amen. So it's a new thing God is doing, and he's going to do it for all of us. A place where there will be no more tears. God himself. You see, I don't know how, whether God has got handkerchief in his pocket, but he says he will wipe away all tears from our eyes. No more death. No more sorrow. That is the place that he is preparing for us. So, he's showing this picture to John, creating that this is what I have in store for my people. What no eye have seen, nor ear has heard. Those are the things that God has in store for us. The former things will pass away. But what amazes me is that there's a second picture. There's a second picture that from verse 5 to 8, John saw. He says the one who was sitting on the throne made an announcement. And the announcement is, I am making all things new. Before that great day, before the new earth and the new heaven comes, I am making everything new. I am making step by step everything new. And he says, I'm telling you, write this thing down. You know, when I was a child, there was a phrase that the elders used to say, and I didn't understand. When they mean something, whether it's good or bad, they tell you, you write it on the wall. Or he says, no, they don't say write, they say mark it on the wall. Maybe because they didn't know how to write. They are saying, not this is going to happen. God says, what I'm saying is true. I'm not lying. You can depend on this. This is trustworthy. Note it down. Write it down. God says, this year, I'm going to do something new in your life. I'm making all things new for you. You can challenge God and put it down. And say, Lord, I want to see what you are going to do in my life. And I'm not surprised Greg is saying this morning, it's the same word. I'm doing fresh things in you. Things that God maybe has never done in you, God is going to do. The interesting thing I see here is the focus is on you. The focus is on me. God himself is saying, I'm going to do all things new. And he says, I am the Alpha and Omega. I've been there right from the beginning, and I will be there to the end. You know, all these things the enemy is doing, they are just fried by night. All the money we are crazy about and all that, they are all just here tomorrow. They are not there. But God says, I am the Alpha and the Omega. That's the God that we have put our faith in. And we need to trust him. And he is saying, I will give you water if you are thirsty. And that's the key word. For this to happen, for you to get water from the springs, you need to be thirsty. These fresh things will come to those who are thirsty. This new things that God is making will only come for those who are thirsty. And then he says, for those who will conquer, this new earth and this new heaven will be their heritage. Will be their heritage. People may say, tell us what they are saying. We may be burdened by now, but the good thing is He's making all things new. He's making all things new for each one of us. But if you become a coward, when God is calling you and you are a coward and you say, I'm not going to go to God. I remember a friend of mine who got convicted about the word of God. He says, hey, Ben, later, not now, but you know, I'm going to lose out if I become a Christian. You are a coward. There's good things for you. Because of the small things that you are having, people say, can you, small things. Because of these small things, you don't want to come to Christ. You are a coward. Because you are faithless, detestable, a murderer, sexually immoral, and all those, he says, they will not inherit what God has for us. So there's a challenge for us. God is making all things new. What does it mean? It means that God is not creating new things. But all the things that he has made, he's transforming them. He's renewing them. He's refreshing them to be new. I will go for it. If a factory is created in Pietermaritzburg and says, if you have any old car, bring it. We will refresh it for free. I will take my car there. But that's what God is telling us. I'm going to make fresh things, new things in you, and we will sit on our bum. We need to go there. Let us not be cowards. Let's be conquerors. Let's be faithful and go, and God is going to do it. He's making all things new. He's going to change things in our own lives. And you know what? God is going to change things in this church. There are fresh things for us in this church. You know, as your life becomes new, and my life becomes new, and everybody's life becomes new, this church will be new. This church will never be the same. God is a great God. He's going to do it. Our families will be new. There are some of us, if we change, our family will change. If we become refreshed, our families will become refreshed. And that's what God is saying, I'm doing for you this year. There are three things I just want us shortly look at. God is making things new. The first one is he's making our future dwelling new. He's busy doing it. Secondly, he is making you new, fit for that future dwelling. This time, that's the work he's doing. He's doing it. And his love will make sure you are prepared for that place. You know that there are some people who have got A's in their exams, matric, they've got A's, but they are not prepared for the university. They are not ready. God doesn't want us not to be ready for heaven. He wants us the day that he comes, we are ready for him. And that's what he's doing. He's making things new. You need to be bold and get into it. Let's not sit. The time of sitting on our bums are over. It's time of embracing the promises of God. Some of us know all the promises of God, yet we don't do it. I was asking a friend last week, I said, by the way, how did the Jordan parted? We read it in the Bible that the Jordan stopped flowing. How did it part? The guy was saying, yeah, but God said it should part. I said, but when did it start parting? It's when the foot got into it. It split open. No matter what, you may be gifted in healing. You may be a prayer warrior. But until you pray, nothing will happen. Until you touch someone and say, in the name of Jesus, be set free, you will never see God. And for far too long in this church, we've heard God. We've heard God. God has spoken to us. He is doing, making all things new. New in me, new in you. God says, this year is a different year. It's a different year. It's a year of applying all that we have heard. We are new people. We are new people. I'm doing all things new. You know, as I was preparing this, my mind went back in 1978. I had become a Christian 2 years earlier in 76 when I was in secondary school. And this man comes and says, for the next few weeks, we're going to do something called eschatology. Whoa. Eschatology, what is that? says, it's a theology that is teaching you from the Bible the things of the last days. And I'm telling you, I grew so much in the Lord that year by knowing that God has something wonderful for me in my life. We began looking at, that's when I began to hear something about the 666 and how there will be tribulation and there will be rapture. God is coming to pick his people. At that time, there were some people who called themselves Hare Krishnas. What they did was they have, their hair, they have rasta, only two rasta, one here and one there. So I remember I asked someone, he says, when Jesus comes, he's going to pull my hair and I will be in the sky. Because that's what the Bible says. No. When you are a child of God and God has prepared a place for you, when that day comes, the spirit that is in you will connect with his spirit, and before you know, you are there. Don't worry if you don't have passport. On that day, God will give you one. You will be bound for heaven because he has made all things new. He's made new. So this place that God is preparing, heaven, there's a definition I got years ago and it has really helped me. Heaven is a prepared place for prepared people. God has prepared a place, but it's for those who are prepared to be there. Jesus said in John 14, let not your hearts be troubled. Believe in me and believe in God and believe in me also. In my Father's house are many rooms. If it were not so, would I have told you that I go and prepare a place for you? If I go and prepare a place for you, I will come again and take you to myself. Where I am, you will be there also. Amen. This will cheer us up that for 2,000 years now, Jesus is preparing. Amen. At least I know that. Since he left, he told me he's going to prepare a place. It's taking a long time. It's going to be good. But we must be ready. We must be prepared. We must be prepared to go with our God. Jim Reeves says, this world is not my home. I'm just a passing through. My treasures are laid up somewhere beyond the blue. The angels beckon me from heaven's open door. Oh, I can't feel at home in this world anymore. You know, these things help you. It makes you know that God has me, have me in mind. He had me in his mind when he created this world. We are not a by the way. Our uncles, even sometimes our own parents, make you look like a by the way. Even the name they give you looks like we were not expecting you, but you are here anyway. But I'm telling you, God knows you. You are never a mistake. God knows you. And now that you are a child of God, he says, I'm preparing you for that place. It's a prepared place. Philippians 3:20 therefore says, but as Christians, our citizenship is in heaven. And from it, we await a savior, the Lord Jesus Christ. We may be multiple citizenship here on earth. We may be what? Sometimes you don't even know whether you have a citizenship. But I tell you, if you're a child of God, you have a citizenship in heaven. And that should cheer you up to know that God knows you. It saddens my heart that because today we don't want to talk about hell, we've forgotten about heaven. The point is, we don't want to talk about hell. No. Oh, no, there'll be no fire and all that. Because of that, we're even afraid to talk about heaven. But heaven is our home. It's something that should move us on to know that the Lord loves us so much. And so, if heaven is our home, who will be there? Who will be there? And he said, it's those who conquer, those who thirst. He's doing a new thing. Those who give their life to Jesus. The moment you give your life to Jesus and you are born again, you are bound now for heaven. 2 Corinthians chapter 5, verse 17 says, therefore, if anyone is in Christ, If one day, maybe you are here, you don't know Jesus. You've heard about him. But if that day when you say, Lord, from today I commit my life to you. I receive you, Jesus, as my Lord and Savior. The Bible says the day you say that, you are in Christ. And you are a new creation. So making all things new begins with your life belonging to Jesus. He declares you new. Yeah, the body will still be the same. You still have a big tummy, but something has changed. You are not the same. You are a new creature. You are a new creature. You're a new creature. And you've started a journey with the Lord. Are you thirsty for this? I'm sure. Look, it's not about when I was born into a Presbyterian church. So for me, right from childhood, I thought, once you go to church, your name is on the list. You check every year. You have to check if your name is there. And in fact, especially for those who were of age, you have to pay something. If you don't pay something that year, your name is not there. So people are busy making sure their names are there, thinking that name will take them to heaven. I have bad news for you. You need Jesus. It doesn't matter how long you have been coming to this Grace Generation Church. If you don't know Jesus, if you haven't made a decision, I want to follow Jesus and give your life to Jesus and be born again, I want to tell you, it won't happen. You are not bound yet for heaven. New life must begin in you. He's making all things new. He's making all things new. Maybe you are born again. But things are not going well. It doesn't mean the Lord has left you. He's still knocking and saying, man, you are a conqueror. Don't lie there. Things that are weighing you, don't allow them to weigh you because you are bound for heaven. And you should get your loins ready to go to heaven. And that will bring me to my third and final point. The love of God through Jesus Christ is new for you to ensure that you get there. If the Lord has called you, he will make sure you get there. And Lamentations 3, verse 23 is such a wonderful word. The steadfast love of the Lord never ceases. His mercies never come to an end. They are new every morning. Can you see that? The love of God is renewed. It's making new every morning for you to help you on the way. And I like the way that the NIV puts it. It says, because of the Lord's great love, we are not consumed. Look, there are so many things that can consume us. Take us, wipe us out of this world. But because of his great love, we are not consumed. And God is in the business of ensuring that those he has called to himself, those who know him, he is there. His love overwhelms them and be with them. So I want to show you this year, as we have entered 2017, no matter what happened to us last year, whether we are backsliding, it's a new day, and God says, I am making all things new. I'm making all things new. I've found the opportunity for you. I'm the one to protect you. I will protect you. I'm the one to help. In fact, if we look at Ephesians chapter 2, verse 3, it says, God being so rich in mercy because of the great love which he loved us, and even when we were dead in our trespasses, made us alive with Jesus. Can you imagine what God has done, his love has done? When we were dead in our trespasses, when we were stinky, filthy, because of his great love, he made us alive. By grace, you have been saved. And raise us up with him, and we are seated already in this journey. We are seated with him in heavenly places with Jesus Christ, so that in the coming age, he might show the immeasurable riches of his grace and kindness towards us in Christ Jesus. Amazing. That's what God is doing for us. He's helping us. This year, let's not, you know, the enemy, sometimes I tell people, I will not be surprised that if Jesus Christ is standing here, humble and beautiful, and the devil is standing there, and you are asked to take one because of fear, you go and take the devil, thinking that he has got power. The devil doesn't have power. Gentle Jesus, he may look, he's got power over everything. And he says, I am with you in this journey. He's going to protect us. I love Romans chapter 8. Verse 31 says, hear this. And this is for us. As God is making things new for us, we need to remember, he says, what then shall we say in verse 31? What then shall we say to these things? If God is for us, who can be against us? Fear is throwing a lot of us away from God. Some have to travel all the way to Nigeria because of fear, thinking that's where God is. God is here. Our God is here. And he's doing it. He who, listen to this, he who did not spare his own son, but gave him up for all of us. Can you see that? His own son, he said, Jesus, you have to die. And he took his eyes away from him. And Jesus on the cross saying, oh my Lord, why have you forsaken me, Father? It's because of you and because of me. So if God has done this for us, how would he bring us out into this place and say, I've forsaken you? He would never do that. He would never do that. How will he not also with him graciously give us all things? He's making all things new. He will give us all things. Who shall bring any charge against God's elect? Who will do that? It is God who justifies. Who is to condemn? Christ Jesus is the one who died. And more than that, who was raised. And you come down in verse 37. No. In all these things, we are more than conquerors through he who loved us. It is love that is doing this for us. For I am sure that neither death nor life, nor angels nor rulers, nor things present or nor things to come, no powers, nor heights, nor depth, nor anything else in all creation that will be able to separate us from the love of God in Christ Jesus. What else do you want? This year, he is making all things new, including your protection, including your prosperity, including finances have become so burdensome these days. But he says, if you are thirsty, I will give you water from the springs free of charge. For me, when I read that, no value is to it. God will give us all that we need. All that we need. All that we need. I always think about when people are very sick and they cannot eat and they are admitted at the hospital. That intravenous, whatever they give them, is full of nutrients. When God gives you that, when you are thirsty and he gives you that spring will satisfy you forever. That's what you need in your life. It will satisfy you. All your economic reasons are over. Problems are over. God is with you. He will take care of you. I love the way Isaiah 54 puts it about what God is doing. God is challenging his people in Isaiah 54, verse 16 says, behold, God is telling his people, I have created the smith. When I was growing, it's not like these days that we have a lot of technology. There's somebody called the blacksmith. He's got something and a big anvil with a big hammer that he forged into different tools. God says, I am the one who created him, who blows fire on coals and produces any manner of weapon for its purpose. I have also created the ravenger to destroy, the one who uses this, maybe ISIS or whoever, those who use these weapons to kill. He says, I've created them. But let me tell you, no weapon that is fashioned against you will succeed. And you shall refute every tongue that rises itself against you in judgment. This is the heritage of the servants of the Lord. and the vindication that comes from me. God protects to the end. God protects. After all, if somebody shoots you and you die, you're going to be with your God anyway. At one point, Paul was saying, I don't know what to choose. Whether I should live or go and be with our Lord. When we know that we have a place prepared for us, we are not afraid of who will kill us. Bible says, don't be afraid of the one who can kill this body, but be afraid of the one who can take your soul. And that is Jesus. Maybe you are here this morning, you don't know Jesus. Jesus says, I have something wonderful for you. Everything that you, all things means all things. Protection, economics, whatever it is, God is saying, my love will help you do this. And so I'm just concluding and saying this year, God is making all things new in your life, in my life. All that it requires is commitment. You need to commit to God. And so, Lord, I want to take hold of these new things you are doing. I remember when I became a Christian, there was a song we used to sing. These days you can't hear. He says, great change since I've been born again. I think this guy is reflecting and saying, wow, look at this great change in me since I've been born again. The things I used to do, I do them no more. The places I used to go. Maybe this year, God will tell you, Benson, don't go there again because I'm doing something new in you. The friendships that you used to have that were weighing you down, as our brother was sharing, that it could be that you are standing here weighed down right from the beginning. God says, oh, hold on, hold on. Bring all your burdens. Carry all your burdens to me and I'll take them off you. We need to do that. Sometimes, like we did this morning, we may need to come before God and say, Lord, help me. You alone can help me. It's time to live for our God. He says in 1 John chapter 3, verse 1 says, see what kind of love the Father has given to us, that we should be called the children of God. And so we are. The reason why the world doesn't know us is that it did not know him. Beloved, we are God's children now. And what we will be has not yet appeared. But we know that when he appears, we will be like him. Because we shall see him as he is. And everyone who have this hope purifies himself because he's pure. He's doing new things. He is preparing us bound for heaven. He wants us to be like Jesus. And so Jesus, when God tells you, don't go there, say, Lord, thank you, sir. If God tells you, it's time to tell people who do not know Christ about the love I have for them, you say, thank you, Lord, and let's do it. In conclusion, it's time to cooperate with God in preparing you for your future dwelling. He's making all things new for you. Amen.